dead.
Hello, welcome back to Krat Beer is Dead. I'm Chris Face, joined by
Bree the Pine Sized Traveler.
Yes, and if you didn't know, we're here to tell you scares,
some
spookies,
scares.
Spooky stories, things that'll scare you.
I don't know
with
what that
goofy,
was.
Whatever the fuck that was.
I like that.
That was fun.
Yes, we're here with another spooky scary.
Yeah, that's the last fun we're going to be having. It's going to be dark
the
and
last
dismal. And
laugh of the entire next 30 minutes. Yeah. So get it out now.
I'm super stoked because like we're getting close to Halloween. We got to plan on Halloween thing.
Yeah, oh, I am gonna be dope. So excited.
Yeah.
So excited.
But yeah, as we get closer, things are going to get a little gnarlier, a little spookier, a little creepier.
Yeah.
But until we jump into all that, we should probably try some birth.
Absolutely.
Do you want a birth?
Huh. I am very, very, very excited about this one. So this is from Trace Brewing. The top it says Barrel and Flow Fest. So maybe that was from that. Not sure. But it is a pale lager dry hopped with.
As she hands the can over. Because I will be honest, if I hadn't seen these names dozens of times already, I would probably be like, the fuck?
Never in my life, and I didn't even think, that's not a real word.
No.
What he's about to
so
say.
This is a pale lager dry hopped with Hallertau Mittelfrü, Grüngeist, Citra, and Azaka, 5.2%. It is an official Barrel and Flow collaboration between Trace Brewing Company and Two Locals Brewing Company. So,
hip.
There we go. Go ahead and pour that up a little bit now.
We've got Local Traces, I believe.
Two Locals is the one they collaborated with.
I'm sorry, the name of the beer.
Local Traces is the name of the beer.
It's a really cool looking can. Very catchy, I would say. I would definitely gravitate towards this in the store.
Yeah, you can, looking at the two brands online too, you can tell it's very much a mashup of like what they both do. So it was brewed at Trace Brewing Company. If you ever go out there, they're in Pennsylvania, I believe. And they have a bunch of cool stuff for you to be, yeah, Pittsburgh.
Oh,
for
yeah,
you to be able to
that's
take
cool.
home. They have a Keller beer right now. They have a Sea of Citrus, which is a Lime, Goza, and Valleys, which is a Saison with Strisselsplot and Motueka. Then we also have the Two Locals Brewing Company. It is one of the first black-owned breweries of Pennsylvania, I believe.
Very cool.
Philly's first black-owned brewing. And then they also, if you want to go check them out, they have the Nubian American Brown Ale, as well as the prolific Hazy IPA. So definitely check them out. What are your thoughts?
This is fucking dope.
Yeah?
Fucking dope.
It's got that Don King head, man. I love that shit.
Frothy ass head that is just staying around for days. And it has this really cool citrusy thing to it.
Yeah, I can get down to fucking dry hop lagers.
Yo,
all day.
That's fucking delicious.
Well, good job, guys and girls.
Big fan. Killed it.
Thank you so much for letting us try it. Very, very kind of you.
Yeah, we snagged this from Tavor. So if you can't get it in PA, get it from there.
Hell yeah, man. So, spook my pants off. I love these episodes because like...
Spook my pants off.
I love these because I don't really have to do much except for witty banter every, 5 to 10? Yeah.
I know. It is really nice to be... the listener,
yeah,
you know,
for sure.
You're like, ooh.
You lucky sons of bitches right out there. Jesus Christ, all of you.
You too. You're going to sit here pretty with a good ass beer. You know, I have a Scott damn care in the world.
Yep. Here we go.
All right. So this is from Open the Magazine. So I'm going to be reading fully from this article/story. This person who wrote this, I think, did a really great job. They even got to meet this person, which is pretty rad too. So the title, The Serial Killer Who Wasn't.
What?
All right. So mind you, this is also, takes place in Mumbai. And if you don't know, now you know, names are hard there.
All right.
So bear with me, please, because they're a little tricky. Okay.
I mean, it's no Hallertau Mittelfrü.
I mean, it's like the same level. Ravindra Cantrol, accused of being Mumbai's beer man. Never heard of this story?
No.
Never?
Mm-mm.
Fuck yeah. All right. Ravindra Cantrol, accused of being Mumbai's beer man, has opened a fast food stall while his lawyer has scripted a movie on his story.
All right. So he's selling his rights already.
On an October morning in 2006, on a foot overbridge close to Mumbai's Marine Line station, a lifeless body was found. The deceased later identified as a taxi driver named Vijay Gwad had been beaten to death. The incident didn't get much notice. It was mentioned a few times in newspapers, a vague investigation was carried out, and it was forgotten before long. A little more than 2 months later, on the morning of December 14th, another body showed up. This time, it was close to Churchgate Station, the next stop after Marine Lines on the same local railway line. The victim, a male, was assumed to be a homeless vagabond. Oddly, an empty Kingfisher beer can was found beside the body.
All right. Not a terrible beer choice.
Over the next few weeks, until January 13th, corpses kept turning up in the vicinity and with increasing regularity. In all, 7 bodies were found during this three-month period, either stabbed or clubbed to death in narrow lanes or foot over bridges, all of them close or between Churchgate and Marine Line stations. Many of the victims were undressed waist down, indicating sexual assault. Now there was alarm. A serial killer seemed to be on the loose. The police launched a manhunt, but the killer eluded them. Although only 2 victims were found with beer cans next to him, newspapers were quick to dub the serial killer the Beer Man. The cans, were told by these reporters, was his signature. On January 22nd, 2007, he was caught. As his prolixated photo appeared on newspapers' front pages, he looked menacing. A takia, skull cap, on his head, and a scruffy long beard that reached his chest, shoulder-length hair. The face was grim and bony. Ravindra Cantrol, alias Abdul Rahim, 35 years of age, looked every bit a killer. The Beer Man.
Bum, bum, bum.
And then the rest of the story began to spool, bit by bit, newspaper item by item, in ghastly and often contradictory ways. He wasn't a homosexual as previously thought. He hated homosexuals. Having recently converted to Islam, he believed the practice was against his faith and had taken upon himself the task of eliminating such deviance. He hadn't killed 7 people, too, according to one report. He had killed at least 45 people before that, all in South Mumbai, and flung most of their bodies into the sea. In some while, another theory was doing the rounds. He had killed them not because of their sexual orientation, but so he could take their blood to a cemetery near Marine Lanes where a tantric would use it for black magic.
Obviously.
Obviously. The trial, as always, took its time. The police charged him with 3 murders, having gathered what it believed was strong evidence in those cases. In January 2007, a sessions court found Cantrol guilty on 1 count of murder. The evidence in the other cases wasn't good enough and sentenced him to life imprisonment. It was greeted with relief across the city. The Beer Man had been locked up forever. Not quite.
Plot twist.
In September 2009, the Bombay High Court overruled the lower court. It declared Cantrol not guilty of the killings.
Weird.
Cafe Excelsior at Fort, like most Iranian cafes in Mumbai, is at a corner facing 2 streets. Opposite New Elixir Theater, the cafe's ceiling and walls fan creak with age. It was established in 1919, as a board outside says, and has a lazy feel to it, except during lunch hour. Today, 3 tables were occupied, a group of loud colligans at one, an old couple who hardly look up from their teacups at another, and 2 chatty gents a little further away. A 4th table is taken up by this reporter and the subject of this interview. The 3rd table's occupants, they look in their 50s, notice us after a while, hold a quick consultation, gulp their tea down, leave their food half finished, and rush out, long strides, newspapers rolled under their arms into the rain. My companion does not notice this, or if he has, seems to ignore it. He has been busy with an expletive-ridden monologue about police atrocity, and then he suddenly switches strains to say, "I miss my wife. I miss my daughter." It is easy to believe Kentrell when he says that. He is among those on the margins of society, as the phrases go, born in Kama, living in Azad Madain. He says, describing how he was born in Kama and Ablis Hospital and spent much of his youth visiting the Azad Madain police stations just down the block on Mahapildag Marg.
Good job.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Kentrell was born to a family of washermen living in an illegal tenement in Dobie Talo. When it was raised, his gambler father moved into his mother's house in Mahalamaxi, and he, in with his father's relatives, in Prune. But within a few months, he was back in Mumbai, an impressionable 14-year-old living at friends' houses, sometimes on the streets. Rather be a Raja of the street than a gulam slave in someone else's house, he says, explaining how he felt at his mother's maternal home. His uncles taunting got to him. Still in his teens, he joined the Dashrat Rain Gang, where his job was to extort money from hawkers and illegal establishments as they were selling counterfeit liquor. When he wasn't spending nights in the Azad Madain locked up, he would be in brothels having sex. One day in a brothel, Kennedy Bridge, he met a girl in her 20s and fell in love. She had been brought from a village in Madhya Pradesh and sold to the brothel. After a year of courtship, he raised 25,000, insert their money currency, to pay the brothel its unrecovered investment on her. He rented a small house for the first time in his adult life, moved in with Anjali. They got married, and she bore him a daughter, Deepa. Jail stints of varied lengths, however, were still part of his life. When he returned from prison on one occasion, he had given up crime and embraced Islam, having met a devout Muslim in prison. Kentrell has now Abdul Rahim. He quit the gang and earned his livelihood doing odd jobs like running a street-side Vedada Pav still in Mumbai. He was also a police informer, and his record was considered clean.
So he's a snitch.
Till he was arrested on suspicion of being the beer man. Kentrell's life was changed dramatically once he was labeled the beer man. While a takia still crowns his head, he wears his hair short, and all that remains on his face is a healthy mustache. Anytime I walk into a street or a public place, there would be either a sudden hush or whisper, he says, looking up between mouthfuls of mutton patties and coffee. I knew they were talking about me. He seemed to be bothered, but I had been found innocent. So I trimmed my hair and shaved my beard. Now fewer people recognize me. So it's like you don't know if he really fucking did it.
Like, was there any, like, circumstantial evidence saying that he did?
No.
So they just, like, try to pin it on him.
So the fact that he was a police informant really throws me, because I feel like something just happened. They won't ever come clean, won't ever say. And they were like, well, let's fuck this guy's whole life up and try to pin him as a serial killer of Mumbai. There are no serial killers in Mumbai.
Like, well, maybe.
No, I mean, like, there are, definitely. But he's, like, when you look it up, it's him. Huh. He is the most famous serial killer to come out of Mumbai.
I mean, that's like allegedly. I wouldn't make a t-shirt for it.
I wouldn't either. So when I ask him if he may speak with his wife for my report, Kentrell knows that his wife's reaction will be like, so he switches on the speakerphone and dials her number. They chit-chat for a bit, talking about a movie she had recently seen. And then he asks her if she would talk to me. No, I can't talk. I have a cold, she says, her voice having suddenly acquired a rasp. Natak, drama, he says, which means drama. The voice on the other line laughs and says, Terry Hoin Jo Khun, whatever. Your heroine that I am. They pretty much live out, you know, a long time in this small village, and he's saving up right now with this restaurant to move even further into the middle of nowhere so no one can recognize him. Because he can't go anywhere, he can't do anything, and he has to hire people to run the restaurant, because if people walk in, they're going to be like, oh my fucking God, that's the serial killer. And then they leave.
See, that's where you get into, you know, A, if he didn't do it. Mm-hmm. What do you think? Do you think he did it?
Yeah.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. But there's like no evidence though.
I know, but I don't know. It's just, I don't know. Why would the police, I don't know. It's just very suspicious. Like when people are very, 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 very anti something, gay, you know, something, sometimes that's like harboring some like actual feeling. The fact that he was so adamant about that. And then it's just really weird. Maybe, well, I don't know. It just throws me off because I feel like the police wouldn't make it look like it was rape because he's Islamic and that does go against everything. If they just killed them, that would be enough. Why make it look like rape or rape them?
I mean, there's, you could argue it from two sides of the coin. One, if he is closeted, yes, kind of like, you know, a lot of, not to call out religious people, but a lot of like overly religious people who really hearken a lot of very, very harsh like life advice, mm-hmm. like chastising other demographics of people, are typically the ones really just jealous that they can't do it themselves. So there's that aspect of it. Mm-hmm. But also too, you know, like with the rise of documentaries with, you know, Richard Ramirez and Son of Sam and all these, or like Making a Murderer, those mm-hmm. kind of things where like, you know, say what you want about police. They do great things for the communities and all that kind of stuff. There are some that do terrible things. But there is kind of an underlying component too of like, oh, we caught the guy, it's done.
Yeah.
Like, but what if it's not? No, it's done. Like, I already told you it's done. Mm-hmm. Like, why are you fucking still talking about that? That was like 2 months ago.
Yeah.
Like, fucking forget that shit. He's already in jail. Fuck him. So like, maybe something like that, then also adding a humiliation factor to like the crimes too, to where like, if he does get convicted and be like, oh, also, by the way, did you hear he was doing this?
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
So now I kind of want to throw you off a little bit. So this is all an interview with a guy who sat down to him, got close to him, felt him on a personal level. When he got convicted of these murders, he admitted to 7 of them.
Well, that's not fair. I just wanted to. You should have like sat there. God damn it.
So like there's a whole fucking police report. So this is also kind of crazy. So in Mumbai, they are allowed to do pretty much whatever it takes to get anything from you. So they did I forget what the name of it is. You know that the truth serum?
Yeah.
So evidently they gave that to him.
Sodium hybenzite.
Yes. The polygraph.
I don't even know if that's true. Oh, I just made it up.
Oh, you fucking dick.
Yeah.
That was pretty good.
I had to get you back.
I was super convinced. So.
I know. Different tat, man. God damn
it. So yeah, so they use that on him, polygraph, and I believe there was like another form of, not torture, it wasn't like means of any like type of torture, but what is it not, if they're holding you down and like injecting something to get you to spill your life story to them? But he also, I don't know, he just admitted to a lot of shit, and then he just goes back, and this reporter, and if you just read this article, you'd be like, no, of course he didn't fucking do it. The police set him up and this is crazy. Like, there's no way. Yeah, no. And it was on a drug. He had, when he would commit these murders, he lived with his wife and kid, and he would take a drug that would create this just insane anger in him. And only when he took that drug, he would go out there and kill someone.
So it's like a Jekyll and Hyde scenario.
And then evidently he would celebrate with a beer. And crush it. I don't know if it was celebrating or it was before. I have no idea.
I will say, you know, I'm not saying I've ever been in this scenario, but if I did find myself in a scenario of like, oh my God, I just killed somebody, shower beer is one of the first things in order, hands down.
Shower beer or like standing over the body, drinking it there on the spot.
Nah, I'd get the heebie-jeebies.
You'd get
pretty
out. Yeah. You'd get out of there.
Like,
you'd like, want to wash your sins
slap
away.
Me in the face, and I'd be like, ew, gross, it pooped itself, and then I'd run away.
So, yeah. Anyway, so at least he had a good pick in beverages after murder.
Kingfisher's not that great. I was trying to be nice earlier.
I don't think I've ever had it. That's pretty interesting. I didn't even know if you'd know what it was.
Well, it's funny because like you mentioned the term earlier of like celebrating with a beer, and then like we're making fun of his choice of a beer. And then now I'm just picturing somebody like, you know, and again, this is all suspending belief for comedy's sake. like something happens and all of a sudden they just like pull out a bottle of like champagne. They're like, pop, yay!
Yes.
Ugh.
So there's going to be a movie on this and I'm really anxious to see what direction they go. Because if this reporter has anything to do with it, then it's obviously going to be like pro the guy. But if it's an outside person who's also looking up some facts and whether they're facts or not, it's also Mumbai. It's, I mean, it's pretty corrupt and I don't know.
I actually don't know much about Mumbai.
No?
So, yeah, I don't know. The movie sounds dope. I think we need more of those stories.
Say exactly, like the Bob Ross, even movie, yes, and we just need documentaries on everything, but we need documentaries done well. We need them by the right people. We need to recreate documentaries that have happened in the past because our generation is just not enthralled by the graphics or whatever the fuck, you know, or the voiceover isn't Morgan Freeman, God forbid. So,
ever since I was a young boy. Yeah.
So, you know, so many things. Like that Bob Ross, I guarantee no one fucking knew any of that stuff until that came out.
And that's the thing, is it just shows like how much history just revels in a narrative of a good guy, bad guy, yeah, like things done, mm-hmm, right? Whereas like I still really love the Son of Sam one that came out recently on Netflix where, you know, spoiler alert, if you haven't seen it by now, it's been a few months, so mm-hmm, you know,
oh,
stop,
it's been
here
a while,
and go watch it. But the Son of Sam one, like, it basically shows, yes, we know David Berkowitz, like, pled to be crazy and all this kind of stuff, and there might have been some sort of element of that, but there are a lot of things timeline-wise that just don't add up. It's impossible for things like that to add up.
Definitely.
And so when people are trying to actually go back to the police department and be like, hey, man, I know we might have got one of them, but what if there's, like, two or three more? And they're like, nah, that shit's done.
Be nope,
like,
but, shut up.
But I mean, just like, but, like, what if, though? Like, that means that like somebody who has physically taken someone's life in a non-combative, non-self-preservation or preservation mentality is just walking around the streets.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I mean, this guy's building a restaurant and making a movie, and there's a potential of 45 people, 8 people, or 0 people.
Big gap. Big gap. Yeah.
I'm leaning towards in between 45 and 8.
I would say that that's a pretty, like, you have more chance of being correct.
I don't think it's 0.
No, he definitely did at least one of them, probably. He definitely probably did something.
Definitely probably.
Oh, I gotta write that down for a beer name.
Actually, it's not the worst.
Yeah, well, okay. Well, like, what's the guy doing now?
What's the guy doing now?
Mm-hmm.
He's working, he has his restaurant, and that's what,
so
he's
still
just saving.
Out?
So he's just out, he's saving money to move so people don't recognize him currently.
Dude, we got humans are weird.
Humans are so fucking weird. I don't know. I will update you when I find out what the restaurant's called and what he's cooking.
All right, what are the fucking specials?
Oh my God, what if he only has that beer on?
Do you guys have anything else other than Kingfisher? No, I love it. Okay.
Oh, okay.
All right, I guess I'll take 2 of those. Please don't look at me like that.
Right?
Hey. Actually, I'm going to go to the bathroom. Is the back door over there too? Or
I don't know. He might come your back door.
Yikes.
You're welcome.
All right. Well, with that lovely mental image, yeah.
You're welcome. Have a happy day. Positive vibes only. Peace and love.
How are you turning into an anime character right before my eyes?
Ew. Don't say that. And I did actually find out the other day, weird off topic, I can actually do those voices really well.
I'm gonna go and see.
I was making fun of Courtney and I did one, and then Craig and George were like,
don't
what
ever,
the fuck?
I'm don't
like,
do that.
Well, I'm sorry, I've been listening to it through a door for the last 2 years.
Oh,
you know,
an anime
you start
fan?
Huge anime fan.
Nerd
as fuck. Oh, that's all you hear. I'll do it later off camera.
Yeah, definitely do that. Like, save your face. Like don't, yeah. Don't go down that rabbit hole. Nothing ends well there.
That never gets deleted.
All right. Well, that is the beer man.
The beer man, the serial killer who wasn't.
You know what? I honestly think sometimes too, who makes up these names? I wonder if there was like other cool names before the beer, because the beer man's not
always
that great.
It's always the media.
True.
They're always trying to just have some catchy ass, you know, that's why so many serial killers get their names even changed. Like, didn't Jack the Ripper even go through like three names before they picked that?
Oh, I'm sure.
You know what I mean?
Depending
like
on
and
what
it just
local
keeps,
municipality was
yeah,
doing. Yeah.
Homie from the California, Night Stalker. I mean, they changed his name a couple times too.
Yeah. Night Stalker's a good name though. Like all
oh, that's great.
All terrible tragedy aside, don't get me wrong, that's awful. And I don't condone yeah. Like, yeah, it's awful.
I wish but, we could
like,
make
from
that
a branding
beer
standpoint.
Name. Like
nope, that's not
know,
down there.
Can't really fuck with that.
Anyway, positive vibes, happy vibes.
Happy
all
vibes.
That.
Yes. Happy vibes. Thank you guys for tuning in. We will come at you with a news following this.
Mm-hmm.
We have some awesome, awesome interviews lined up that you guys are definitely going to be very excited for, because I know we are. So
yeah, I'm bringing in my cousin Jerry. we got the guy who picks up the dog poop outside.
Ravidra Control is coming in.
Is that like a stage name?
I literally just talked about this guy for 30 minutes and
yeah,
you forgot
so
his
many
fucking
weird
name.
Names. I don't know. Ay, ay, ay. It's just so weird that Ravidra Control actually picks up dog poop out here.
All right, guys. Have a great day. We'll talk to you later.
Bye.
Dead. Dead.